Therefore, Daniel resolved with all that was within him not to be defiled. Let me go back and break this down for you. The word heart, that when you see that word heart in the Bible, it means more than just that thing in your chest that goes thump, 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 thump. It's talking about more than that. That when you see the word heart in the Bible, especially in the context that is used in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, according to the theological word book of the Old Testament, it said this became a rich term meaning for the totality of all that was within a person.
Welcome to In Kirk in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of New Year's resolution or life-changing resolve. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of New Year's resolution or life-changing resolve.
You know, as a young man of 17 years old, he raised a bar in his life. And look what it says here. Being aware that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will and for Christ's sake. I frequently hear persons in old age say how they would have lived if they were to live their lives over again. You know, that's what, man, don't be an individual to say, well, if I had my life to live all over again, this is what I'd do. I was watching this guy on TV. His name was Tony Robbins, and he's a motivational speaker. And he was doing this video that he was trying to sell, and I was watching. And one of the things he said, he has a rocking chair philosophy. And I said, well, what in the world is he talking about, rocking chair philosophy? And he went on to explain what that meant. He said that I've got it and directed my life in such a way that when I'm old and sitting in my rocking chair and can't do anything else, I want to be able to look back over my life and not have any regrets and say, I wish I would have did this or I wish I would have did that. You know, that's what we need. We need to adopt the rocking chair philosophy, that when we get to the point where we can't do anything else, that when we look back over our life, that right now you can't go back and change things that have happened in the past, but you can by sure take control of the things that are going to happen from here on. And you can say, look, that there might have been some mistakes I've made in the past. There might have been some things I've done wrong, but I'm making resolutions in my heart today that I'm going to do what it takes to please God. I'm going to live in such a way that when I'm in my rocking chair and I can't do anything else, that I'm going to look back over my life and I'm going to say, while I had my health and while I had my strength, I did everything that I could do to the glory of God. That's what Jonathan Edwards is talking about here. That's what he's talking about. They sang my song. They sang my song this morning. We're going to get to Daniel at some point. I don't know when, but we're going to get to Daniel at some point. But they sang my song this morning. I preached at Rodman Street this summer, and the choir came, and they sang that song down there, and they gave me a CD of the service, and that song was on there. And I tell you what, that song blessed my heart, man. Faithful. Faithful. Man. If you are faithful over a few things, God will make you ruler over many things. And then you know what? And then they said, and he'll give you a crown of life. You know, if you got a song to sing, faithfully sing that song. If you got a kind word to say, say it each and every day. You know, be faithful. And when you resolve in your heart that this is what I'm supposed to do, then you will be faithful to do the things that God has called you to do. Daniel resolved in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. So John Edwards says resolved. And let me just go through these real quick. Indulge me, please, while I go through these. He resolved that I will live just as I think I shall wish I had done, supposing I live to old age. That if you know, supposing that God grants me the opportunity to live well into years, that I'll live according the way that I thought was the best to please God. Resolved to examine carefully and constantly what is the one thing that causes me in the least to doubt the love of God and direct all my forces against it. Wow. Man, is there anything that causes you to doubt God's love for you? Jonathan Edwards said, if there's one thing that causes me to doubt God's love, He said, I'm going to direct all my energy against that because I know that God loves me. Man, what a powerful, powerful thought. No matter how low you can go into the dregs of life, that God loves you. The songwriter said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Save am I. The love of God lifted me. I don't know about you, but the love of God can reach you wherever you're at, whatever you've done. God loves you, and you don't need to think anything different. You might not have had parents that love you. You might not have had others in your life that love you, but be assured of one thing and one thing only, that God loves you. It don't make any difference what you did. I was listening to Woodrow Kroll the other night, and he was talking about this guy. I forget what his name was now, but this guy murdered four people. Y'all might have heard the program the other night on Back to the Bible. It was 10 o'clock, I think it was Thursday or Friday night. Murdered four people. They put him in jail. Put him in jail. And was going. He was on death row. And while he was in jail, he murdered four more people. And this guy was so uncontrollable and so wicked that they actually locked him up in this padded room where the only, no light or anything, and the only thing they would do is have a little slit in there where they could slide his food into him every day. And somebody slipped a Bible in there, and he had a little light in there that he was able to, you know, at first he didn't want to read it. He just kind of pushed it off and didn't think anything about it and just left it. But then he began to read the Bible. And through reading the Bible, he gave his heart to the Lord. And after he gave his heart to the Lord, they saw a change in his life. And they let him back in with the rest of the population in prison. And he began to preach in prison and began to lead many of the inmates to Jesus Christ. And Woodrow Kroll stopped there, and I wanted to hear what the rest of the story was. But I really want to find out. But I was just thinking, man, here he was, murdered four people outside of prison, murdered four people inside of prison. A heinous, devious, nefarious individual, and the love of God found him. It don't make any difference who you are. God's love can find you. And if there's any reason that you have the doubt that God loves you, man, you need to take all the resources within you and direct them against that and realize that God loves you with a love that nobody else can love you with. Resolved not only to refrain from the air of dislike, fretfulness, and anger in conversation, but to exhibit an air of love, cheerfulness, and benignity. Resolved. I like this one right here. See, I wish I could just read these. I got to preach them. Resolved. After affliction, to inquire how I am the better for them and what good I have gotten by them and what I might have got by them. See, he said that when I go through a trial, I'm just not going to waste the trial. I'm going to find out why I went through the trial. I'm going to find out what this was all about. I'm just not going to go through it moaning and groaning, murmuring and complaining. He said, but when I go through the trial, I'm going to be seeking God in the trial and asking God to show me why I'm in the trial and what I can learn as a result of the trial. See, you know, I got a little prayer book at home. I keep it right in my dining room where I have my devotions at. And in my prayer, you know what I got in my prayer book? This right here. And I don't read it every morning when I get up, but there's a couple mornings during the week that I read through this because it challenges my heart. You know, along with reading the scriptures and praying and other things, this really challenges my heart. And I would encourage you that if God would so lead you, man, just to put this somewhere where you might be able to grab it and reflect upon it. He says, resolved never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. Resolved to study the scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently that I may plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of them. Resolved never to do any manner of thing, whether in soul or body, except what tends to the glory of God. Resolved frequently to take some deliberate action which seems most unlikely to be done for the glory of God. You know what he's saying there? Let me stretch myself. Something that is beyond me. something that God would call me to do beyond my own perceived limitations, about more than what I think I can do. Let me stretch myself. You know, some folk might need to, you know, if God is so leading you, get involved with the deaf ministry. You don't want to get involved with the deaf ministry. Oh, that's, you know, I could never do anything like that. Man, stretch yourself. Stretch yourself out there. Some of you need to get into the Bible Institute. Oh, well, I can't take tests. I can't do, man, you need to stretch yourself. You see, you will never, going back to the message last week, you will never grow unless you stretch yourself. Jonathan Edwards said, I'm going to stretch myself. Resolve, never to give over, nor in the least to slacken my fight with corruptions, however unsuccessful I might be. He said, when I see wrong, he said, I'm not going to give up as far as addressing them. He said, even if I'm not successful. You know, as we look at our world today, I said to myself, I said, you know what? This is a crazy world that we live in. You know, I mean, this is just crazy. And some of the things that authorities are standing for and representing are foolish and crazy. And I ask the Lord sometimes, God, how can we make a difference? You know, it just seems like, you know, we just might as well just come to church and close the doors and sing Kumbaya and just wait for you to come. You know? You know, but Jonathan Edwards said, look, man, he said, I'm going to still stand for what's right. And where I can make a difference, I'm going to seek to make a difference. Resolved, never to act as if I were in any way my own, but entirely and altogether God's. Resolved to ask every night as I am going to bed, in what way have I been negligent? What sin have I committed? And in what way have I denied myself? Also do this at the end of every week, month, and year. Resolved. Whenever I do anything conspicuously evil, any conspicuously evil action, to trace it back until I come to the original cause, and then both carefully endeavor to do so no more, and fight and pray with all my might against the origin of it. He said, whenever there's some wrong in my life, let me search it out. Let me be like Sherlock Holmes and Deputy Dog and Underdog and Mannix and Frank Cannon. Let me be a detective and search this thing out. Find out what the root of this evil in my life is. Let me find out what the evil is. And then once I track it down, everything that's within me to fight against it. Resolve to ask myself at the end of every day, week, month, and year, in what way I could possibly in any respect have done better. Resolved never to do anything that, now, whoa, man, whoa, this is deep right here. Never to do anything that I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Wow. Resolve to live with all my might while I do live. And you know what? As far as history bears out, Jonathan Edwards lived according. Now, he had 70 resolutions. I don't know how many, I didn't count how many that was there, but he has 70 resolutions for his life that guide and direct his life. And you know what? They weren't necessarily the resolutions that were made with the lips. They were the resolve that was made in the heart. And that's why it says here, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He made a resolution in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And as I just kind of wrap this up and look at the outline very quickly, and believe me, I'm not using a preacher's tactic. You know, preachers say sometimes, just one more point and we'll be done, okay? No, I'm not using a preacher tactic. But the emphasis of the message I wanted to look at were those resolutions and kind of base it in Daniel, and then look at, you know, what does it mean to have a resolve in your heart? And it means, you know, four things. The place of the resolve that Daniel purposed in his heart, that's where it was at. It wasn't in his lips, you know. It wasn't just something that he blurted out there. But everything that was within him, he had made a resolution. He had resolved in his heart that he was going to stand for right, and that he was going to do what God called him to do with everything that was within him. And, you know, we need to, as believers in Christ, we need to understand that concept. What does it mean, everything within me? My mind, my will and my emotions, everything. You know, it's just like, I remember the first time I saw my wife. She blew my mind. She overwhelmed my emotions. And she controlled my will. All that was within me. All that is within me. And I shared the story with y'all before, but I remember when there was another guy, you know, trying to move in on the case early on in the situation when I wasn't so sure about where this was going to go. And I remember I went up to her and I said, look here, my name is not Junior Walker, but what does it take to win your love? Daniel said, he said, all that's in me. He said, my heart, you know, all that's within me. And he directed all of his energy that was within him against the things that would defile him. The power of the resolve, it says in the last part of the verse, therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The power, this word requested in the Hebrew is in the intense, it's intensified. And it has the idea behind it that Daniel came and he asked this with some authority. That there was, look, man, look, you know, let me do this. Let me do this. It was, oh. Well, you know, Mr. Boss, if you be so gracious as to, you know, not let me have to eat. No, he wasn't shucking and jiving. He wasn't half-stepping when he came. Daniel came and he requested with a little bit of authority. Look, man, you know, first of all, I'm requesting it. And I believe that Daniel, when he requested it, if the guy would have said no, he would have said, well, we're not doing it anyways. And that's proved out as you move on when they wanted him to worship the idol and they were thrown into the furnace. So he wasn't going to do it anyways. So I believe in his graciousness, he came and he said, well, look, you know, what can we do not to have to do this? Let me propose something to you. And so there was a little bit of power. And see, the reason why many people get backed up off of their resolve and get backed up off of their conviction, because there's no power behind it. You come up with some weak knee, limp wrist resolution that can be blown with a 5-mile-an-hour wind. God is saying, look, man, let that resolve be rooted and grounded in your heart. The place of the resolve was in the heart, the power of the resolve. And then look at the peace of the resolve. Look at verses 12 and 13, the peace of the resolve. He says here, test thy servants, I beseech thee 10 days, and let them give to us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the youths that eat the portion of the king's food, and as thou seest, deal with thy servant. Do you see the peace that's in this? Do you see the peace? Look, I'm so confident. I got such a peace in my heart. I got such a confidence that I'm doing the right thing that, look, this is what I'm willing to do. There's a lot of peace in that. And you know what? When you know that you're doing the right thing, even though the world might criticize you and doubt you, as a matter of fact, if the world is criticizing and doubting you, then that's probably a good indication that you're doing what God wants you to do. and you know, there's a peace in that. There's a peace in knowing. I remember we were going, I was preaching a revival in Virginia Beach, and we were living in Lynchburg, Virginia at the time. And my wife and I were going down the road, and I was driving, and my wife fell asleep. And we were going down the road, and there was a police car on the side of the road. And my wife, for some reason, woke up at the time when the police car was on the side of the road. And that's the first thing she saw. And she said, slow down, slow down. There goes a police car. And you know what? I didn't have to look at my gauge. I didn't have to slow down. Why? Because I had a peace in my heart that I was driving the speed limit. You know, there was a peace. There was a peace that was there. Now, see, a perfect illustration. See, some of you, if your husband or wife woke up and said that to you, then you would be breaking, right? yeah, you know I'm right. You know I'm right. So what does that mean? That means there's no peace there, okay? Now, once again, now let me, I'll leave that alone. That means there's no peace there. But when you're doing the right thing, there's peace. Daniel was doing the right thing. His resolve was right, and he had a peace in his heart. And then finally, the persistence of the resolve. Look back in verse 9. Now God brought Daniel in favor and compassion with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who hath appointed your food and your drink. Why should he see your faces looking worse than the youths who are of your age? Then shall you make me endangered with my head with the king. So what is he saying? Look, this is not going to work, Daniel. He says it's not going to work. He said for two reasons. Number one, they're going to see the difference that between you and the people that's eating the king's food. You guys are going to look a lot weaker and scrawny, and it's not going to work for that. And then the second thing, that I'm going to be in trouble, that I'm going to be in danger. And so what was he trying to get Daniel to do? He was trying to get Daniel to back up off of his conviction. He was trying to say, well, look, man, you know, you can nibble on, you know, some of the king's dainties. You know, go ahead and indulge in it. But see, Daniel had already purposed in his heart that he was not going to do that. And verse 11 says, then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test thy servants, I beseech thee, these 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And the long and short of the story is that at the end of the 10 days, that Daniel and his friends had a fuller, more healthy countenance than those who ate the king's meat. See, there was persistence. Daniel knew he was doing the right thing. But see, a lot of times we get shaken off of our resolve. Something will come along and cause us to be shaken off our resolve. Move away from the thing that is rooted in our heart that we know what to do. But we need to be persistent about it. We need to be like that bulldog. Latch onto it and don't let it go, knowing that that's the right thing. New Year's resolution or life-changing resolve. You know, God would have us to make some life-changing resolves. Look at the life of Jonathan Edwards. Here was a guy who had life-changing resolve, and he made a difference in the world. Father, we thank you once again for Daniel and the stand that he made. Lord, how that he purposed in his heart, that he made up his mind, that he resolved that he was not going to be defiled with the king's meat. Lord, for some of us, we might think how trivial that is. How can he be so nitpicky? But he knew what your plan was for his life, and he held fast to that plan. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every one in this congregation today, that if there are any here that are wavering on the promises in your word that you asked us to stand on, Lord, that they might resolve in their heart to stand for the things that they know are right. Oh God, give us some Daniels, Lord, some people who will be people of conviction, people who will stand and not be moved to the left or to the right. Give us some Jonathan Edwards, Lord, individuals that will stand at a young age and believe that their lives should count for God, and Lord, to live accordingly. Lord, move in the hearts of each and every person here today. And Father, as always, I pray that if there's someone here that does not know Christ in the salvation that he brings, Lord, that you would allow them to come and talk with one of our counselors so that they might be able to find out about this Christ who gives eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, and we commit this invitation to you now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Resolutions to a Holy Life. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, New Year's Resolution or Life-Changing Resolve, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request New Year's Resolution or Life-Changing Resolve. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request New Year's Resolution or Life-Changing Resolve, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.